Welcome back to another episode of Unicorns Do Exist. I am your host, Vanessa. Welcome back to the podcast. How have you been?
It's been a fun week. I think there's so much going on, not just in the world that's funny and crazy and just wild that you don't even know what to believe anymore, but also like in the air and the energy. However, I do feel very, very much like I'm changing, I'm evolving, I'm growing in a way that I don't even know how to explain it. Like, I don't recognize myself sometimes, but I'm happy with the changes. Like, I'm proud of the changes. I'm so proud of so many years of like meditation and learning how to control my mind and quiet my mind. I feel like it's paying off right now. Like, all the work that I've done on myself, mentally, physically, emotionally, is what is getting me through this little growth spurt that I'm going through right now. Kind of like I'm shedding so much, and I love it. I'm becoming someone completely different, and I can see it and I can feel it. I know I'm still in the process, and I know that there's more that needs to be done. But I can definitely see it in myself, like in the way that I show up for myself and the way I'm showing up in this world. And I'm very proud of that little girl that was once in a mental hospital and didn't know if she was going to survive or if she was ever going to be happy again. And to think it's wild, like that, obviously that person is no longer here. And I just would like to give her a hug and tell her, keep going, you got this, like you're doing amazing. And anyone that's maybe going through a depressive state or suffering through something that life threw at you that you probably didn't expect or didn't want, it's for a reason. It's for a reason, and it's temporary. You're gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay. You're loved. And even though you may not feel it just yet, the fact that you're still on this earth and this planet and this world, the fact that you're still living this dream, because this is all a dream, you know, we're all dreaming, is because God wants it that way. Trust me, if God didn't want you here, you wouldn't be here. God would have you next to him already, and you're not. You're still here, and it's for a reason. So keep going. There's more out there waiting for you. You're going to be the missing piece in someone's life one day. You're going to be the missing piece in someone's life, in someone's happiness, in someone's joy. And so keep going. And keep going, because I was there at one point. And honestly, this is why I wanted to talk about today. The Four Agreements is a book that I read maybe over 10 years ago. And when I read this book, it completely shifted myself into a different state, like a different world, a different dream. I realized that we were all dreaming. We've all been dreaming. And I also realized that heaven is here on earth. Heaven is here on earth. And we are creating either heaven or hell based on our dream, based on the way that we live our life. And this book really opened my eyes to that. It's called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And I don't know if you guys ever heard of it or if you guys have already read it. I just wanted to talk a little bit about it, because lately I reread it and I catch myself still not being impeccable with my word. and it's one of the most difficult agreements. It's the number one agreement, which is be impeccable with your word. It is the most difficult, but it's the most rewarding when practiced and mastered. It can literally transform your life. What that means is being impeccable. In Spanish, pecado means sin. And impeccable means without sin. Speaking without sin to yourself and to others is what is going to transform your world and your dream. And what I mean by sin is, I think I've mentioned this before, but sin is not what the Bible wants you to believe. I know people have mixed reviews with the Bible and stuff like that, but sin is going against yourself. You're going against who you are, Like if you, I remember when I was little and I used to make fun of my sister because my friends would like make fun of my sister growing up, like middle school. I was like a little kid and I wanted to be cool. So I knew that I was hurting my sister by making fun of her, but I still did it because my friends would do it and I thought it was like a cool thing to do. Inside, I was going against myself. That was the sin. I was hurting myself by making fun of my sister. Even though I was making fun of her, I was in reality hurting myself. When you talk back about yourself, that is you hurting yourself. When you talk about others, you are not hurting them, you're hurting yourself. Because everything is energy, everything is karma, everything comes back to you. So, as well as when you know for a fact that you love someone or you love something and that is who you are internally, like being gay is not a sin. Knowing that you're gay and still trying to make yourself straight or punishing yourself for being gay is the sin, not being gay itself, because you're going against yourself. So that is how I determined sin. That's how I interpreted. And that's how the book kind of talks about it. Okay, I had to go get the book because I was getting a little ahead of myself. So I want to read you a little part of the book. So this is the book. If you've ever seen it, it's a small little read. I think it's like 150 pages, maybe less, including like credits. And I read it. This is one of the books I've actually read. I don't read a lot. I listen to the books a lot at like 1.5 speed because I get bored. Does anybody else do that? Like when I watch TikToks or listen to podcasts, like I need to put them like on like a faster speed because if not, it gets on my nerves. I don't know why I do that. I think it's my ADHD that does that. I'm able to listen to things at a faster speed. Anyway, okay. Your word is the gift that comes directly from God. The Gospel of John in the Bible, speaking of the creation of the universe, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is God. Through the Word, you express your creative power. It is through the Word that you manifest everything, regardless of what language you speak. Your intent manifests through the Word. What you dream, what you feel, and what you really are will all be manifested through the Word." Just like people say, hey, like spelling is a spell. That's why it's called spelling. You can, through your word, you can put people in a spell, in a trance. If you tell someone long enough that they are dumb, they eventually will believe it and will do dumb things to prove themselves right. For example, growing up, my dad used to tell me that I wasn't the brightest, that I had a fly's brain, tenía un cerebro de mosca. And for a long time, I believed him. I just didn't get good grades. I didn't really think school was for me. And then I read the Four Agreements and I was like, wait a minute. So they're telling me that that's not true. That if I tell myself I'm smart, that I can do things, I'm gonna do them. And that is true. I think I am extremely smart, both book smart and life smart. And I, as I grow, I keep getting smarter. But it's the fact that I stopped that old belief in my brain that was there for engraved for years, you know, whether my dad meant it or not. I'm sure my dad loved me and he didn't mean it to do that like that, but he was trying to prepare me for life in a different way based on what he saw. And I no longer accept that belief. I am smart. I am beautiful. This is why I talk to myself the way I do. This is why I talk to my friends the way I do. I always tell my friends how beautiful they are. I always tell my friends how amazing they are. I always tell them how smart they are. I always tell them things that I would want someone to tell me, because I know that the more I tell them, the more they're going to believe it and the more they're going to succeed in life. Not only that, I speak based on what I see. And I see this world based on the dream that I'm living, meaning beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So whatever is inside me is what I see, right? So if I see someone that is beautiful, it's because I have beauty within me. If I say someone is smart, it's because I feel capable and smart myself. And that is what the first agreement is all about. The way you talk to yourself will program your brain. It's like a computer. If you have a virus in your computer, the virus is going to take over. And we live in a world where the virus is gossip. Everyone likes to gossip. Everyone likes to talk bad. If you find other people talking bad, you automatically start talking bad as well. Like, your mind wants to join in. Your body wants to join in. You don't want to feel left out. So what do? You start gossiping. And all you're doing is spreading more hate, spreading more sin throughout the world. So this is why I say that happy people don't gossip. Happy people don't talk about others. Happy people who are genuinely happy, you could tell by the way they speak. You can tell by the words they use. So, agreement number one, be impeccable with your word. The word is so powerful that one word can change a life or destroy the lives of millions. And that's what we see right now. We saw it back in the day with Hitler, and we see it nowadays, something that's going on with the orange man in office. See, that was bad. I shouldn't have said that. With the current president. I mean, I was being descriptive. I wasn't trying to be mean. See, even myself, I'm still learning. I'm still growing. But I do feel like that once I started noticing the way I talk to myself and noticing the way I talk to others, my life differently changed for the better. When I was trying to lose weight and trying to like get my life back and on track, I used to run or go on a hike. And every day I would tell myself, every day I'm getting stronger and stronger. Every day I'm getting stronger and stronger. And then I added, every day I'm getting stronger and stronger physically, mentally, and emotionally. Because there was all these areas in my life that I needed to work on and I wanted to improve. So telling myself that helped a lot. That is agreement number one. Just like my father put me under that spell with his words. The book talks about a mother who puts her daughter in a spell, and not intentionally. She just didn't know better. The mother is coming home from work and she's upset, and she has a headache, and the daughter's singing and singing and singing. It's her little daughter. And the daughter doesn't know much, but the mom is so frustrated that no matter what sound came, it wasn't going to sound good to the mother. So what does the mom do? She yells and says, "Shut up. You have an ugly voice." The little girl believes it. And if she believes it, then it's real. It's in her mind now. It's in her dream. And that's her reality now. So the little girl stops singing, never sings again. Even in school, she doesn't want to even speak up because she thinks she has an ugly voice. And so she goes through life like this. So when you intentionally or unintentionally speak and say mean or hurtful things to people, you could literally be putting them in a spell. But just like you can put them in a spell, a negative spell, you can put them in a positive spell. Which is why I always say, my friends are so beautiful. My friends are so smart. And I tell them, I physically tell them, this is why I don't cuss at people. Unless I'm like super, super angry, then you'll see me. You know, they'll come out. The words will come out. But 99.9% of the time, I don't even say bad words. Yeah, I don't even say bad words. My brothers and sisters don't say bad words to me, and I don't say bad words to them because I've been practicing this for a long, long time. I'm going to say over 10 years was the first time I read this book. Not only that, your mind is like soil, right? And if you agree with something someone says, it's like planting that seed in your brain. And the more you feed that seed, whether it's negative or positive, the more it's going to grow. So being impeccable with your word is the hardest one to do, but it's also the one that will transform your life the most. Have you ever noticed someone, like, just no matter what happened, they always have something bad to say? And how does their life, what keeps happening? More and more bad things. And they don't realize that they're doing it to themselves simply by the way they speak about everything. Themselves, their body, their life. Kind of thing. What you say and how you mean it matters. So that is agreement number one. Agreement number two, don't take anything personal. In this world, nothing someone does is ever about you. So don't take it personal. You're not that important. Then when I read that, I was like, oh my God. I went from being a victim to being completely detached and understanding that. I think at this time, my sister was going through something herself personally, and she couldn't be around me. She told me, I can't stand you. I don't want to be around you. And I took it so personal. I was so hurt. I was like, how could my sister, like, how? Like, I try my best to be a good sister. And then I read this and I realized that she didn't say it because of me. She said it because of what she was going through at that time. So at the time, it was her perspective, her dream, what she was going through that made her say that. It had nothing to do with me. So now every time people do things, I don't, even if they do it to me, the book even says, if someone gets a gun and shoots you in the head, it's not about you. That's how much you have to not take things personal, because it's not about you. People's actions are based on themselves, the way they feel about themselves, the way they think about themselves. The happy people go around the world happy, doing good things, saying good words. Angry, sad, miserable people want to go around the world spreading that. And it's based on themselves. It's based on how they truly feel about themselves, what they truly think. If someone says, hey, you're fat, which is something that I used to have with myself, I would judge them and I'd be like, oh, she's fat, right? It wasn't about them. It was me. It was my own insecurity about being fat myself. Once I healed that about me, I don't see fat people anymore. Not the way I used to. Not the way I used to look at someone and immediately I would go to their stomach or go to their arms or go to like certain areas of their body and think, oh, they're fat. And it wasn't about them. It was my healing my own trauma with being fat. Growing up, like I said, my father would tell me, you're not that smart. So you can't be fat. You have to be skinny because then no one's gonna want to marry you. Because you can't be fat, it can be ugly and stupid. I grew up thinking I cannot be fat. I cannot be fat. I need to work out. I need to work out. I need to be skinny. And instead of just loving myself, as you know, a parent should just love a child, I didn't love myself. I had rules for myself. Once I healed that, once I learned to love myself for who I am, honestly, having my child healed so many of those wounds. Not like I'm not saying that's the solution for people, but I've been practicing it for so long that after having my child, I could see it even more clearly in myself. Like, I love my body. I love my body. Not simply because it's mine, because it gave life. Like, I never thought I could do something like that. And I'm beyond grateful to my body. I mean, I love working out because I love my body. Not because I'm vain or because I want to be skinny anymore, but more because I want to maintain it healthy. I want to keep it alive. I want to treat it good. Like, the way you treat yourself is the way you treat others. Second agreement is all about personal importance and how that is a sin kind of thing. Because you're not that important. People are always going to do whatever they think is best for them based on where they are in life, what they think they deserve. Whatever keeps them away from pain and closer to pleasure. Whatever happens around you, don't take it personal. If someone says, hey, you're stupid, without knowing you or knowing anything about you, it's not about you. Don't take it personal. Because if you take it personal, then perhaps you do believe that you're stupid. Maybe you think to yourself, wow, how did he know I was stupid? Then you're agreeing with that person if you take it personal. So if someone could come up to me and be like, you're an ugly bitch. I'm like, okay. Because I don't think that's true. So why would I listen to them? Why would I get offended? I don't get offended. But like, okay, sure. Have a great day. You know, because the moment I get offended is the moment I agree with that person and the person wins. That is what this agreement taught me. If someone gives you an opinion and says, hey, you look fat. Don't take it personal, because the truth is that the person is dealing with his or her own feelings, beliefs, and opinions. That is exactly how I was. I was dealing with my own beliefs, opinions, and feelings about myself back in the day. Even if you tell me, hey, Vanessa, what you're saying hurts me, it's not what I'm saying. It's that you agree with what I'm saying that hurts you. So, practicing this agreement took me a while as well. Especially when some people do things or say things to me, and then I do feel offended, I do feel hurt. that's when I have to go back and say, like, okay, what about this hurt me and why? What do I agree with? What are they right about? Like, how do I overcome it? That was agreement number two. When I was going through my divorce, or I guess I'm still going through it, but when I was getting separated, my ex used to tell me, she asked me once, and she's like, well, how would you feel if I told you you were a bad mom? And I was like, honestly, I don't care, because it doesn't affect me. I'm not a bad mom, and I know that. But I realized that every time I would tell her, she would get so offended. She would get so mad. She would get so hurt. She's like, that's why she said, how would you like it if I told you? I was like, I honestly don't care, because I know it's untrue. But then I realized that it hurt her so much because she agreed with me. She agreed with what I was saying. That's what made her upset. I don't say it anymore because I realize that at the same time, I need to be impeccable with my word. And so now I say things like, I'm grateful that she's doing her best and she's trying. That's because I know now the power of my word. And I know now how magical our words are, because your word is magic and you can bless your life or curse it with it. So why would I say something I don't want? But like I said, when emotions are involved, these become more difficult. And it's a practice, and it's something that I still am learning to do. But we'll get to that later. Don Miguel Ruiz, the author, says, write this agreement on a paper and put it on your refrigerator to remind you at all times. Don't take anything personal. Don't do it. As you make it a habit of not taking anything personal, you won't need to place your trust in what others do or say. You will only need to trust yourself to make responsible choices. You are never responsible for the actions of others. You are only responsible for you. When you truly understand this and refuse to take things personal, you can hardly be hurt by the carelessness or careless comments or actions of others. If you keep this agreement, you can travel around the world with your heart completely open and no one can hurt you. You can say, I love you, without fear of being ridiculed or rejected. You can ask for what you need. You can say yes, and you can say no. Whatever you choose, without guilt or self-judgment. You can choose to follow your heart, always. Then you can be in the middle of hell and still experience inner peace and happiness. You can stay in your state of bliss, and hell will not affect you at all. That is the power of not taking things personal. The third agreement is, don't make assumptions. And I think back in the day they would tell us this, but in the sense of, like, if you make up some assumptions, you make an ass of you and me. I don't know if I've broken down the word, don't make assumptions, because it makes an ass of you and me. Get it? Assumptions. That's how I heard it a long time ago. But the way the book explains it is, we as humans have the tendency of making assumptions, like creating a whole story in your brain before it even happened. And the bad thing with that is that 99.9% of the times that people do that, the story is worse than it really is, than reality. Have you ever believed that someone did something to you and you felt the emotions and you felt so angry and you felt either sad or angry or whatever, like, because you thought they did it, and then you find out that it wasn't really true, that it never really happened? It doesn't matter, because he already solved the emotions. Even though it didn't happen, that is the power of assuming things. The problem with making assumptions is that we believe that they are truth. We could swear they are real. We can make assumptions about what others are doing or thinking. We take it personally, then we blame them and react by sending them emotional poison with our words. When we make assumptions, we're asking for problems. When we make assumptions, we misunderstand, we take things personally, and we end up creating a whole drama for nothing. We create a lot of emotional poison just by making assumptions and taking it personally, because usually we start gossiping about what is assumed. Remember, gossip is the way we communicate to each other and transfer poison from one person to another. Because we're afraid to ask for clarification, we make assumptions and we believe we are right about the assumption. Then we defend our assumption and try to make someone else wrong. because nobody wants to be wrong. So instead of clarifying and understanding that maybe there's another truth to things, you start defending your assumption by creating more and more and more poison. One of the examples I like from the book that I feel like a lot of people do this is that you meet someone, you get married, and you make the assumption that your partner sees marriage the same way you do. You never discuss it, you never talk about it, but you assume your partner sees marriage and understands marriage the way you do. Then you live together, and you find out that it's not true. It creates a lot of conflict, but you still don't try to clarify your feelings about marriage. The husband comes home from work, and the wife is mad, and the husband doesn't know why. Maybe it's because the wife made an assumption without telling him what she wants. She makes an assumption that he knows her so well that he knows what she wants, as if he can read her mind. So she gets so upset because he fails to meet her expectations. Making assumptions in a relationship leads to a lot of fights, a lot of misunderstandings with people we supposedly love. In any kind of relationship, we can make the assumption that the other one knows what we think, and we don't have to say what we want. They are going to do what we want because they know us so well. If they don't do what we want, what we assume they should do, we feel hurt and think, how could you do that? You should have known. Or how did you not know when you never even told them? Assuming that the other person knows what we want. A whole drama is created because we make this assumption and then put more assumptions on top of it. We have millions of questions that need answered because there are so many things that our reasoning mind cannot explain. It is not important if we answer it correctly. Just that answer itself makes us feel safe. This is why we make assumptions. A lot of people, when they start dating or talking to each other, they assume they're exclusive. And it could be like maybe the girl assumes they're exclusive and the guy thinks that they're, you know, just dating. And then you can assume like, well, I don't date others, so they shouldn't date others. But you never talk about it. And then you find out that they're talking to someone and you get offended or you get upset and you're like, you know, oh, he cheated. But you guys never discussed it. So I always tell people, be completely open about what you want, how you want it, what it means to be married, what it means to be in a relationship, what it means to be dating. Because everybody has different definitions for these things. And when you avoid the conversation and you assume that dating to you means the same thing it means to them, is when all the issues and problems and arguments start. When you assume someone wants kids that you're dating, and then later on you get married and they say, well, no, I don't want kids. It's like, well, you should have told me. You should have asked. It's kind of on both people having these discussions. Yesterday, I was talking to a friend and he's like, oh, do you think he really cheated on Megan Thee Stallion? And I was like, I would think yes. But then again, I don't know them. And it doesn't even matter. What matters is that in the beginning of the relationship, I don't know if they discussed an open relationship. I don't know if they discussed a close relationship. But years in, after buying a house, meeting the family, cooking, doing all these things, then you want to throw in, hey, by the way, I don't want to be monogamous. I thought you knew that. That is something that needs to be discussed up front, before you date someone, before you buy a house, before, not assume that they're going to understand or they're going to know. Because there is people out there that don't want monogamy. There's people out there that are okay with dating more than one person at a time. There is people out there that want that. And there's other people that don't. And the easier, the faster you find out which one you're in, like what group you're in, the less headaches you're going to have down the road. So don't make assumptions. Don't assume they know everything that's in your brains. Don't assume people know how to do things that you know how to do that are so easy for you. Because it's common sense or second nature. Don't assume that, because everyone has different needs. Everyone has different lives. Everyone has different priorities. And the fourth and final agreement, which just ties everything together, it is always do your best. That's all you can do. Don't do more, don't do less. Do your best. And your best is going to look different every day. Your best is going to look different based on how you feel. if you're sick, if you're healthy, if you're going through something, if you're alone, if you're with others, always do your best, because all you can do is every day is do your best on these three agreements. Always do your best on trying to speak eloquently, impeccable with your word, love, and out in the world. Always do your best, not making assumptions. It's difficult. Emotions can get the best of you, but don't give up. Try again the next day. Try again, and always, always try. Just don't stop doing your best. Because just like you didn't learn how to walk overnight, just like you didn't learn how to speak overnight, just like anything that you do, in the beginning, it's going to be challenging. You're going to fuck up. You're going to mess up. You're going to say something you probably shouldn't. But don't stop. Because the biggest war that you have is with the way you were programmed as a child. The biggest war that you need to fight is the one in your brain. If you want to live in heaven, that starts with your mind. Because it doesn't matter where you live physically, surrounded by. What matters is where you live up here in your brain. The way you talk to yourself, the way you talk to others, the things you believe about yourself, the things you believe about others. That is where you live. That is what matters. And Don Miguel Ruiz talks about being a warrior for yourself, a warrior against lies, a warrior against society, a warrior against what people want you to believe, the way society wants to control you. And the best way to do that is by rebelling and learning and reprogramming your mind. And don't believe me. Go read the book for yourself. Don't even believe. Learn how to make your own choices. Learn how to choose for you what you want, not what people told you as a child you had to do. A lot of people give Kanye West so much shit, but he rebelled against society. He rebelled against people telling him not to believe in himself, not to do what he wants. And I've always loved him for that. I've loved him since day one. And I get it that he's had his ups and his downs, but guess what? He's never given up on himself, and he's never given up on his brain. He's never given up on his beliefs, and he's always doing his best. Based on what's going on around him, I believe that he's trying his best. And that's what I believe. You can believe something else, and that's okay. You have the right to believe whatever you want. But if you want to have heaven on earth and start living a more productive and beautiful life, physically here where you are now, you start by challenging the thoughts that maybe are not even yours. They were your parents' thoughts, either about money, about life, about relationships, thoughts that you grew up with that may or may not be true. But the only way you're gonna know is if you go and start thinking for yourself. Always do your best. Me showing up on the podcast, it's what I love. It's what I like to do. I have this voice that I found, and I love to use it, and I'm so happy that I get to do it. But I don't know what I'm doing sometimes. All I can do is do my best, try my best, be a better mom, be a better human, be a better sister, be a better daughter, but never stop trying. Because once you stop trying is you give up on yourself. You give up on what could possibly be, what your life can look like. I love this book so much because it changed my life for the better. It really did. A good example of doing your best comes from the story of Forrest Gump. He didn't always have great ideas, but he took action. He was happy because he always did his best at whatever he did. He was richly rewarded without expecting any reward at all. Taking action is being alive. It's taking the risk to go out and express your dream. This is different than imposing your dream on someone else, because everyone has the right to experience his or her dream. Doing your best is a great habit. I do my best in everything I do and feel. Doing my best has become a ritual in my life. I made the choice to make it a ritual. You choose every morning when you wake up what kind of day you want to have, what kind of person you want to be. I choose to follow the four agreements. I choose to do my best every day. I choose love over and over and over. And I do make everything a ritual, because if I don't, then I won't practice it. I won't do it. God is life in action. The best way to say, I love you, God, is to live your life doing your best. The best way to say, thank you, God, is by letting go of the past and living in the present moment. right here, right now. Whatever life takes away from you, let it go. When you surrender and let go of the past, you allow yourself to be fully alive in the moment. Letting go of the past means you can enjoy the dream that is happening right now. Like I said, this is all a dream. We're all dreaming. And you choose your dream. You choose who you want to be every day when you show up in the world. You choose to take action. The kind of action that if you do your best over and over again, you will become a master of transformation. Practice makes the master. By doing your best, you become a master. Everything you have ever learned, you learn by repetition. So not just once, but twice, three, four times, trying over and over again because you are worth it. Because your life is worth it. It's not about daydreaming or sitting for hours dreaming in meditation. You have to stand up and be a human. You have to honor the man or woman that you are. Respect your body, enjoy your body, love your body, feed, clean, heal your body. Exercise. Do what makes your body feel good. This is puja to your body. And that is communion between you and God. Your own body is a manifestation of God. And if you honor your body, everything will change for you. When you practice giving love to every part of your body, you plant seeds of love in your mind. And when they grow, you will love, honor, and respect your body immediately. Every action then becomes a ritual with you and God. There is no wrong or right. Every thought becomes a communion with God, and you will live in a dream without judgment, victimization, and free of need of gossip and to abuse yourself. When you love yourself, you stop abusing yourself. You start to love yourself. When you honor these four arguments together, there is no way that you will live in hell. If you are impeccable with your word, if you don't take anything personal, if you don't make assumptions, if you always do your best, then you're going to have a beautiful life. You're going to control your life 100%. The four agreements are a summary of the mastery of transformation. You transform hell into heaven. And that's what I did. Not regressing, not falling into depression, not going back is a practice. A practice I choose every day. Because I'm worth it. Because my son's worth it. Because my family's worth it. Because this life is worth it. And if you are currently living in a hell that you created, because we create everything that we are living, then practicing these four agreements will transform that hell into heaven. But just do your best to honor the agreements. Don't be mad at yourself if you mess up. If you regress, just try again. And this is not an easy task. You really need to use every bit of power you have to succeed in keeping these three agreements. I didn't think I could do it at first. I failed many times, but I stood up and kept going. And you don't need to be religious and go to church every day. Your love and self-respect are growing and growing. And if I did it, you can also do it. Don't be concerned about the future. Keep your attention on today and stay in the present moment. Just live one day at a time. Always doing your best. Keep these agreements and soon it will be easy for you. Today is the beginning of a new dream. I hope you guys like this episode. I know it's a little different. I think I read a lot, but I know there's a lot of us out there that know and want more for our lives. We just sometimes don't know where to go and how to do it. So this is what this podcast is for. I hope it helps someone today. Send it to anyone that might enjoy it, that might want to practice these four agreements, or that it's going through something. This is just one of his many books. I've actually read four of them. Another great one is The Mastery of Love. That if you want to be in a good relationship, healthy relationship, The Mastery of Love is a must to heal yourself and understand what it is to date. That's where I got the whole, if you want a cat, get a cat. If you want a dog, get a dog. Don't get a cat and get mad at it for not barking. Because it's not the cat's fault. It's yours. It's your choice. When you date someone, don't date them and try to change them. Go find someone that you want to date without having to change. Because then they're going to resent you. Anyway, that's a whole different topic for a whole different episode. Once again, guys, thank you for staying to the end. I hope you enjoyed it. I know it's a little different, but I have been drawn to this book lately so many times that I just figured I should share. And once again, remember that unicorns do exist. You're listening to one. Bye.